Yep, I see the red line progressing across the screen, and as it travels, there is a sound wave visualization formed by a blue line oscillating up and down as we speak, shown to me in half-second increments.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Welcome to episode 17 of One More Podcastle, where we are 100% ready for the zombie apocalypse. My name is Eric Bailey. I am not suffering from radiation sickness, and I'm the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
I am Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and this is day three of Exile of 2012.
My name's Jason Lamb. I'm the resident Canadian and write about PC games, and I suffer from gangrene.
Ew.
Gross. That's gross.
Yeah, it's kind of nasty.
Are you going to lose one of your limbs?
Who says I haven't?
Oh.
He makes a good point, though. We don't know if he's got all of his limbs.
That's true.
Or if he might have extra limbs.
That's true.
Hey-o. Can you get, like, the opposite of gangrene, where, like, your body is so anti-infectious that you start growing an arm? The answer is no. No, you can't.
Okay.
If cartoons and comic books you read as a kid were any indication, with enough radiation, yes, you can.
Yes, yes, because that's what you want to do, kids, is find yourself a big old bunch of radiation, and you'll be a superhero. Good luck with that. Speaking of superheroes, you guys played any old video games lately?
I have.
Oh, what have you played?
So I finally bought a compact flash card. Wait, let me back up. Okay, so what? Yeah.
Beep,
so for my
beep.
So for my wedding, a buddy of mine got me the power pack for a wedding gift. But he didn't get me the flash card to load ROMs onto it. So I finally bought a flash card so many months later, and I've been playing a bunch of homebrew games. And the one that's really taken my interest has been D-Pad Hero, if you ever played that.
I'm not much into rhythm games, so I have avoided it, but I am aware of it, yes.
It is hard. It is.
I bet.
Super difficult, just because there's no training, there's no difficulty setting. It's just, here's the song. The buttons are flying down, and you got to hit them as you go. And I was completely unprepared for the game itself. But I like it. I think it was a neat idea.
Cool.
To take that kind of a rhythm game and, you know, do a D-make on a 8-bit system, basically. And then with that, I've been playing, like, unreleased games, like the Dr. Mario version that was unreleased. I think it was called Virus or something like that. That's kind of neat. And Battle Kid. I played Battle Kid again, which...
Good times.
Yeah, game stuff. Jason, I didn't hear anything from you.
Funny story. Wait, actually I have to ask. What's a power pack?
Oh, okay. So a power pack... is basically a NES cartridge that you can purchase that has a flash card on it. So you can actually load games onto the flash card, put it in the power pack, put the power pack into your NES system, and play it on the original hardware.
All right, that makes sense. But it doesn't use SD cards. It uses...
Yeah, it's a compact flash card.
Wow.
I don't know why. It took me for... The only ones I could find out and about were like... 30 and 40 and 60 gig cards. I'm like, I'm putting NES games on here that are what, maybe yeah. 2 or 3 kilobytes big. It's like, I don't need this big. So luckily I was able to find one that was a 4 gig. And it only set me back like $8, something like that.
Oh, that's pretty
so,
good.
But I tell you what though, playing a homebrew game on your NES console, not like with an emulator or anything like that, it really kind of interested me into creating my own NES game.
Yeah.
But I have nowhere near the patience to do something like that. Assembly is crazy hard to learn.
Yeah, that 6502 stuff is quite the arcane wizardry.
It's pretty sweet, though. Mm-hmm. Was pretty happy with it.
Homebrew stuff, I feel you. Like, I wish I could get more into it, making my own games and playing more of the games that are out there, and I fully support the scene, but it is kind of strange that they use things like those micro flashcards, and they set kind of an entry barrier for people getting into it, so it's a quirky phenomenon.
That's what Ouya's for. Can't wait. March is almost here.
There you go.
What about the game stick?
Yeah, I saw that. It's, I don't know.
I think it's more like lame stick.
That's not fair.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think with the big response of Ouya was on Kickstarter, I don't know. Like, I think it might have a possibility of becoming something, but I don't think it's going to be as big as Ouya, because everybody's just like, well, that's already going on. Why would you do another one?
It's already passed its funding.
Has it really?
Yeah. It's made $125,000 and only had a $100,000 goal. It's got 28 days to go.
I think, though, that there is a legitimate concern from a developer standpoint of, well, good grief, like, am I going to have to develop with the Ouya market in mind and the game stick? And why should I jump through extra hoops if I'm not even going to be guaranteed an audience? Like, sure, it surpassed its Kickstarter goal, but that doesn't mean there's a huge waiting throng of people to purchase your product you push onto it.
No, that's the thing. They've only sold 60,000 Ouya units, which in the grand scheme is nothing.
Yeah, and I read a good article about it where there's some, like, two-person development teams that are excited, and they're like, yeah, for us, it's totally worth it, but I can't imagine, like, a big studio actually making a legitimate first-party game, a AAA title. No way.
Something like that, it's going to be... I think this is the perfect opportunity for a two-part or, like, a two-person party to come up with just a great idea. You know, 6 months down the road, or maybe even at the end of the year, where they're actually being sold in stores and it's getting some sort of popularity, mainly just by being new. You know, I think people are going to buy it because it's a new idea.
Sure.
But, you know, these two people party companies, I mean, they might design something that's amazing and it just blows up. I mean, like, what was the alien hominoid?
Yeah.
Like, that was just, you know, that was like two or three guys that were just making games for the PC, and then somebody, you know, popular or that was in the biz found it and was like, this is killer. We need to push this out farther. So I think it's just more of a jumping platform, which I'm more than happy with.
Oh, yeah. Sure. That's a good point. So what have you been playing, Jason?
Go.
I went on a real Doom kick this week, but I didn't actually end up playing Doom.
Oh.
I spent a lot of time reading and researching Doom.
Huh.
Because that's as fun as playing Doom.
Oh, it is. Anyway, if you follow me on Twitter, I got an interview with Sandy Peterson.
He did all the level.
Yeah, he did all the level design for majority of Doom, Doom 2, Quake, and then he ended up working on the Age of Empires series.
Dang, good work, Lamb.
Yeah, so I'll have that up next week, but the week that this podcast airs.
Sweet.
Yeah. And to tease the interview, I'm going to read a line from it, which I thought was hilarious. I asked him how working at id was compared to when he moved on to Ensemble Studios, which did Age of Empires. And he said, quote, "Working at id Software was a lot like watching a nature documentary about jackals eating a dead zebra."
I don't get it. That's got to be out of context.
Working at id Software was a lot like watching a nature documentary about jackals eating a dead zebra.
What years did he work there?
From before Doom launched to after Quake launched. So.
Oh, wow. So he had his hands dirty in all of them.
Yeah, he had his hands dirty in all of them.
Filthy, filthy hands.
Right from the get-go.
That's what we like on One More Castle.
Yeah. So you can read that next week.
Cool.
I can't wait, Jason.
It'll be fun.
I said I can't wait. Send it to me now.
Never.
Bailey?
Well, I admit I have not been playing any different retro games. Me and the wife are still working on unlocking different things in House of the Dead 2 and 3 on Wii, so We beat arcade and classic mode on the first game, House of the Dead 2, and then House of the Dead 3, we beat the arcade mode, so now we're going to beat them on hard difficulty levels, and so yeah, still grinding through that, and otherwise I've been playing Half-Life 2, which doesn't quite count, but just in the interest of full disclosure, that's what I've been playing lately.
Oh, yeah.
Now settle down there, Jason. Settle down.
I'm sorry.
Keep those pants on.
Gets me excited.
I guess so. Hey guys, guess what?
I'm confused. What?
We got what? A listener email discussion question.
Wow, we're getting good at that.
There we are.
Yeah, dang, I know.
Just gotta keep complaining about not getting emails, and we get emails.
Imagine that. It works. So this is from Jonathan, aka Big Joe 91, a longtime fan and ally of One More Castle. He's a frequent commenter on the pages. And I believe he's also emailed us a question before, so he's going to be our first-time, second questioner. There's not really an official term for it, but here's his question. Seeing as how you have an eerie way of choosing your retro showdown games, I thought I'd help by bringing a subject to the table before it happens. What will you do if you both bring the same game to the showdown? It's bound to happen. Will you act like a man and let the best debater win? Or will you react like a girl seeing another with the same dress and change the game? Thanks, Jonathan, a.k.a. Big Joe 91. That's a good question. What do you guys think?
I'm going to go with the changing the dress option.
Mm-hmm. I could have guessed.
What?
What?
I have many a pretty dress. Thank you. No, I think, I don't know about you guys, but I've been playing video games since I was 4. You know, I've got 23 years under my belt of gaming. Mm-hmm. And it's the connection, at least for me, that I make with a video game. That's something that I'll never forget. So I think the biggest issue of picking a game. See, Bailey, I think you're the one who's kind of at a loss here because Jason's got a huge PC background.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think either you or I do.
True.
And
yeah, that's true.
You're very steeped in Nintendo,
mm-hmm.
and I have a wide variety of Sega. So I don't know. Like, I just don't see it ever. If it does happen, I'm just gonna turncoat and pick something else.
I think it's possible. I mean, we've seen Jason pick Nintendo 64 games, and that console only had a few hundred titles on the library. So
yeah. That was a fluke, though, and you know it.
I've done it a couple times now, though.
He has. He's picked a couple. I think, though, there's two primary strategies in my mind. Strategy A is to always have a backup game in mind. So somewhere tucked in my head is a game that... See, for me, though, it's kind of unfair because I go first, typically, in the showdown. But if somehow, for some reason, the order was changed and someone else went before me and they picked the same game that I had in mind, I would switch to my backup plan right away. And then there's strategy B. Strategy B is to get completely bitter about it and screw you guys by picking a legendary, mainstream, awesome title if that ever happens. Like, oh, you picked that obscure Sega Genesis game that I had in mind? Fine. Then I'm going to bring Super Mario Bros. 3. See how you like that.
See, I think that's when all three of us are going to know. When somebody picks somebody else's game, when they're like, oh, okay, so, all right. Yeah, that's a good choice. Street Fighter 2.
Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Yeah, like, it's going to be like, let's start over. I don't want to play anymore.
So there you go, listeners. If one of us is the clear favorite, you know something went down.
I have to say, you guys are taking this a lot more politely than I will.
Oh,
well, by
Wait,
all means.
The Canadian's going to be the mean one?
Okay, statistically, I'm the most screwed because I go last. So there's a chance you'll say the game that I chose before I did. So I do like Bailey's strategy of picking a legendary game, but I'll probably end up just, especially if it's a series, I'll end up just picking a game that's either within the same series. So say you brought Street Fighter 2 for some reason, but like, no, Street Fighter 1. Street Fighter 3.
That's a pretty good idea.
That actually is pretty diabolical. Yeah.
Like, just to split the vote.
Huh.
Because that's what it would be. Because the other person's vote, or the other person's pick, technically And I mean, in the grand scheme of things, probably wouldn't even count at that point.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. It has, depending on the franchise, it has potential. Like if someone picked Mega Man 2 and you pick Mega Man 3, that's a quite a head-to-head battle there. So basically, Jason is saying if that ever happens, then the third wheel is screwed. Whoever picks the odd man out. Not a chance.
Wow. That would be a very interesting week.
Well, if we keep doing this long enough, surely it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, we'll run out of games.
Yeah. Looking forward
run
to
out
it.
Of games.
I'm going to have to start picking like weird, obscure ones.
Yeah. This is something I drew on a piece of paper when I was 12.
It's the most beautiful game ever.
I'm just going to start bringing more mods.
No, games, Jason. You got to bring games to the Retro Showdown.
You know, I don't mean to open Pandora's box, but we never technically said that you couldn't pick a game that's been used before.
That's true.
I think we all agree that that's not the best way to go, but if we really had to just reset the game and start all over, there's no law against picking a game that's been used before.
Well, I say this. I say you can pick a game that's been used before, but not by you.
Oh, okay.
Like if I brought, you know, Clue Land, which I would never do. But if I did, I think that's okay.
Okay.
So I couldn't just bring Roller Coaster Tycoon like for 4 weeks in a row?
No, you can't.
No. But like you could pick like Blades of Steel.
All right.
Hunter, I think that's a great idea. I like that a lot because that keeps it balanced because even for the listeners, it might be the same game, but they're hearing it from a different person defending it. So that's still fun.
And we've already discovered that there's many games that we've brought to the Retro Showdown where we're like, okay, we all love this game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That has definitely happened many times. Man, now you make me want to go back to the backlogs and see what you guys have chosen before that I want
crap.
Rip off.
It's only episode 17, man. Give it some time.
Sure, okay. You guys got a 500 episode head start before I start headhunting your previous games.
All right.
So, a decade from now, I'm going to start sniping you. Well, good question, Jonathan, and thanks for making us talk that out and develop some Retro Showdown strategies. This is going to be quite the showdown-emphasized episode here, which I am completely okay with. Do either of you have anything to add before we go to the musical break?
Clue Land.
Lawnmowers.
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 Rocket pants.
We need to work on that.
We do.
Like hardcore.
I don't know if we want it to be hardcore.
We want it to be hardcore.
All I know is all the first-time listeners are really confused right now.
Oh, yeah, they would be.
Yep.
Poor first-time listeners.
Yeah, just so you first-time listeners know, we really like lawnmowers and rocket pants. That's all you need to know.
.com.
Music break!
Okay, Sonic, eat Jason's tails. My number's don't want your rings. Okay, Sonic, your system fails. Think I'll stick with my roots. Thanks. I'm still
back. That was Sonic by Laura by Spruik. Some nerdcore Sonic the Hedgehog inspired rockin' tunes for ya. If you like it, you can download it on the podcast page. And you know what? If you don't like it, you can still download it, because it's still going to be there, whether you like it or not. It's not all about you.
Wow. Yeah. It just got real up in here.
Yeah, it's real. We keep it real here on the One More Real Castle. But
wait, that's not the name.
No, it's I screwed it up, guys. I'm sorry. It's the One More Podcastle where we keep it real. There we go.
Okay.
Speaking of reality, we know what it's time for. The Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those of you who don't know, this is the part of the show where each of us has chosen a retro game in secret. We will have 1 minute to introduce the game, and that's new starting this episode. We used to take up to 2 minutes, but we're going to slice that in half. Now we only got 1 minute to introduce. And after that, we're all going to have a free-for-all argument as to which game is superior. But the best part is you, the listener, get to vote in a poll on the podcast page as to which one is your favorite. So hopefully our arguments actually make a difference and actually matter. And it's a lot of fun, and that's the Retro Showdown. 2 episodes ago, for episode 15, guess who won, guys? This is when Septicore was on.
Was yeah, a place to steal.
I think it's Septicore, ain't it?
I won.
What?
Yeah, Army Men, Sarge's Heroes over episode 1, Pod Racer, and Blades of Steel.
What? Wow.
That's right. You guys underestimated how much people like those little green Army Men.
Well, I didn't. I wasn't here.
Well, there you go. All I know is I feel like I haven't won in a while, and that was not an episode where I thought I would. So thank you, listeners, for voting me the winner. I appreciate that. Feel free to keep that up, like, every week. That'd be pretty cool.
You're all dead to me.
Oh, no.
Jeez. This is starting to get brutal.
Look, who's keeping it real now. Jeepers.
It's not me. I'm keeping it as unreal as possible over here.
You're still in the fantasy zone. Oh, hey, that's a retro game reference right there.
That's not a bad game.
It's not. I have the world record high score on the NES version of it.
Do you?
I do. However, it's somewhat of a moot point because Twin Galaxies, the record-keeping organization, is kind of in a huge infrastructural shift, and who knows if my records will mean anything anymore.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic we won't get into right now. You can do your own research online if you want, but anywho. Yeah, and for full disclosure, it's one of those games where you can go back and forth shooting enemy ships that keep respawning, so it's not like it took a high amount of skill or anything. I can't take too much credit for that one. Hey, you guys want to do the Retro Showdown?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
Cool. Let's do it.
Well, Jason, I am ready when you are.
All right, you may begin.
Tonight, I'm reaching way back to 1982 to pick one of the most classic all-time legendary video games of all time, Pac-Man, on the Atari 2600. Now, you may have heard that the Atari 26 version of Pac-Man is horrendous and awful and terrible, but you know what? It's not. It's fun. It catches a lot of flack because it's not exactly like the arcade game, which is what duped consumers back in because they bought the cartridge expecting the arcade experience. But if you are to judge it on its own merits, I think you'll find it's a decent version of Pac-Man. It's a lot of fun, and hopefully I can defend its merits tonight on the Retro Showdown.
All right. Hunter, are you ready?
All right, my pick for this week is the Master of Darkness, released in 1992 for the Sega Master System. The player controls one Dr. Social, a psychologist who decides to take on Dracula, who the Great Doctor has discovered is behind the series of killings in London that has been tied to Jack the Ripper at the turn of the century. Master of Darkness is an action platformer that pits the player against zombies, bats, zombies, ghosts, and zombies. The players journey through many different kinds of areas, such as castles, laboratories, and cemeteries. The player can hold two different kinds of weapons, a short-range and a long-range weapon with limited ammo. The game is colorful, the platforming is fun, and the music is great. A good, if not great, choice for this week's Retro Showdown.
All right. I've changed my mind, Bailey.
What?
I guess I'll begin. All right, my choice this week is a little game known as the Advanced Lawnmower Simulator for the ZX Spectrum. Controlling a lawnmower, you get to cut a lawn and are rewarded things such as a roast beef sandwich for a good job, or you are chastised for doing a horrible job. There's only one type of control, that is pressing M on the keyboard to start the engine, letting go stops the engine, and you basically mow a series of lawns with your lawnmower. That's Advanced Lawnmower Simulator for the ZX Spectrum.
Is that our first ZX Spectrum game?
It is.
Of all the games in the Speccy library, Advanced Lawnmower Simulator?
Yeah, Advanced Lawnmower Simulator. You don't like mowing lawnmowers?
I actually don't really like mowing the lawn. It would be nice if I never had to mow it ever again. I mean, it's not horrible, but I'd prefer not to mow the lawn.
This is like the ZX Spectrum version of Paperboy. Except you're mowing lawns. It was given a mega game status by Your Sinclair Magazine, who covers ZX Spectrum games.
Oh.
What the hell does that mean?
It's like they only did a 9 out of 10 gamer scale. And if a game was, like, super good, it got the mega game status, which was a 10 out of 10. And this was awarded it.
No way! Advanced Lawnmower Simulator?
Advanced Lawnmower Simulator.
No way!
That is the half-truth of it. Yes, true.
I refuse to believe it.
It was. That part is true. I don't say why was awarded that, but that part is true.
What part is not true? What are you lying to us about?
I can't tell you, but Pac-Man, really?
Hold on.
I want to say something about the Advanced Lawnmower Simulator.
Yeah.
So I just watched the entire walkthrough for this game.
Yeah, it's 4 minutes and a half.
No, mine was a minute and 20 seconds.
Really?
It takes a minute and 20 seconds to beat this game.
Oh, if you do it once.
How many more times do you want to do it?
Well, you can mow the lawn in different ways. You get different sayings. Like, there's a different end screen every time.
It's completely random?
I wouldn't say completely random.
Just like,
probably wow. Repeats itself, but boy, is it good.
Just wow.
Yeah.
Advanced lawnmower. Minute and 20 seconds.
Similar. Yeah.
A minute and 20 seconds? I just feel like if I had 80 seconds to spend, I guess I could play a Speccy game for 80 seconds, but that's quite the light load on gameplay. It's just a candle in the wind.
Another great song.
There's actually a cheat you can type in. If you press break and type 130 space rem space 1439 and then run on the following line, it actually speeds the game up.
Whoa!
So you can do it in about like 30 seconds.
Best cheat code ever.
So you can beat this game in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Is this a game?
That's almost as bad as picking a game that's been cited as a contributing factor to the North American video game crash of 1983.
Yeah.
Almost as bad.
Yeah, I can't believe you picked that
gonna
game,
happen,
Hunter.
Though.
I can't believe you picked Master of Darkness. That darn game.
Darn it. Wait, what was that game released? 1992. Yeah, 1992.
Totally contributed.
Great video game crash in 92.
The game went back in time.
That's why it's called Master of Darkness. Duh.
You know what's going to happen, Bailey?
What?
People who just vote, they're just going to see Pac-Man. And they're going to be like, yeah, Pac-Man. That's an awesome game. Vote.
We'll see.
It's going to say Atari 2600 next to it.
Ah, some people won't know that.
I look forward to finding out.
Are you doubting the intelligence of our listeners,
Jason?
Oh,
I think he is. I think he is.
No, I'm just saying. Wait. I'm just saying that if you ask me which version of Pac-Man was the crappy version of Pac-Man, I'd have a hard time telling you which version it was.
Oh, You heard it first here, listeners. Jason doesn't know about Pac-Man.
Well, he's a PC gamer. Yeah, I'm surprised he knows what Pac-Man is.
Hey, ever heard of Mario or Sonic?
What?
Silly Americans.
No, but he knows about Lawnmower Simulator.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the Advanced.
Yeah, Advanced, so thank you.
I could only imagine when they were sitting there and like, you know what, this game's actually not too bad. I wonder what we can do to make it advanced. Let's make the grass green. Awesome.
I wonder what basic Lawnmower Simulator was like. Regular old vanilla Lawnmower Simulator. It lasted 18 seconds.
That's a game that my grandfather would play. Ugh.
Wait, are you guys, when you say Pac-Man, are you talking about Munchie, which was published on the C64?
What? No, Pac-Man.
No, Munchie. Look it up. Munchie for the C64.
No, I'm not talking about Munchie. I'm talking about Pac-Man.
No, Munchie was a Miss Pac-Man was a port of Munchie. It's a completely different game. A way better game, actually. Even on the 2600, a way better game.
A way better game than what? Master of Darkness?
No, Pac-Man.
Master of Darkness?
Pac-Man. You're just going to keep saying that all over again, aren't you?
I was tempted, but then I understood what you said.
Is Master of Darkness a Castlevania game?
No, it was Sega's challenge to the Castlevania series.
Oh.
It's quite the thinly veiled challenge, if I may say so.
I was going to say.
See, now I think that Master of Darkness has quite a few better concepts that Castlevania lacks.
Like vampires? Oh, no, wait, it's got that.
Like,
yeah, there's vampires.
Like a cemetery level?
Oh, you're
actually trying
to defeat Dracula?
Oh, no, wait, that's...
Like a variance in weapons? You have a short-range weapon, you have a long-range weapon. Castlevania, you just have long-range weapons? It's like...
Whoa, are you considering the whip a long-range weapon?
Absolutely.
That's not a long-range
weapon.
That
is not a long-range
sure
weapon.
Sure it is.
No, it's not. Dude, you're throwing bombs in this game. Master of Darkness, you throw bombs.
Yeah.
So that validates your long-short range.
What? What are you talking
about? Did I misunderstand you? Did you say that this game has short-range weapons as opposed to short and long?
No.
This game has short and long-range weapons, where Castlevania only has long-range weapons.
But the whip is short-range.
The
range.
Whip is not long-range, Hunter. The whip in Castlevania is a short-range weapon.
Oh, sure it is.
What?
Simon Belmont is just this prissy little rich boy who just wants to keep everything away from him.
I'm not saying it's only 2 inches long.
Another great aspect that is in Master of Darkness but is not in Castlevania is something that everybody hates about Castlevania, which is the fallback hit.
Well, I'll give you that. If it doesn't have the knockback, then it's clearly a better game.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's identical besides that. You have your cemetery level, you're fighting Dracula, you're fighting zombies.
Even the box art's the same.
It's a gothic theme at work. Yeah.
And turn of the century London. It's a nice spin on history.
I'd rather play an advanced lawnmower simulator. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
No.
Yeah. Hours of fun.
Because at least, hear me out. At least I know with Advanced Lawnmower Simulator, even if it's bad, it's not going to last very long.
Okay, I'll give you that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to suffer through Pac-Man and Master of Darkness.
Right, because with Advanced Lawnmower Simulator, you got 20 seconds to burn. Boom.
Yeah.
This was the first social game that you can pick up and play.
It was. It's revolutionary.
Well, I think we're stretching a little bit here, guys.
Revolutionary.
No.
I was using sarcasm.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's the disconnect.
Jason was being a literal McLiteralson.
Master of Darkness.
I mean, I'll give you this, Hunter. Games on the Sega Master System, like you said, they are colorful. They sometimes did the animated sprites of the characters much better than the NES did, which is tough for me as a Nintendo fanboy to admit. And some of the games look great, but I can't help but feel like if you're going to make a Castlevania ripoff, you got to make it a little bit better. Master of Darkness is kind of a light, watered-down attempt to me, you know?
No. No? No. I think it's better than Castlevania.
No, oh, no way. No, 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 it's not.
You're not serious.
You cannot be serious.
Absolutely.
You can't be serious.
This is
the only Castlevania game I really got into was it Symphony of the Night or whatever the PlayStation one
was
called?
Yeah, that's a good one, but...
That's it, man. Like, the rest of the games are just... No.
Okay, let me...
I think Master of Darkness fixed all those issues.
Okay, let me really pinpoint what you're saying here. Would you say that Master of Darkness on the Sega Master System is better than all three Castlevania games on NES?
Oh, hands down, absolutely.
Listeners, the choice is clear. You have to vote for my game just out of
no!
out of respect for the retro gaming community at large. If you have any sense of decency or rationale,
vote for my game.
Screw you, Jason. Be quiet.
You're out of this, lawnmower boy.
Lawnmower boy.
See, I should have just told you just to bring the other game, not the lawnmower game.
You
bring
mean the
bring the other game,
the good game I was going to bring.
Well, I mean, at least we're expanding our horizons and getting the ZX Spectrum on here. Especially in Europe, it had a sizable following. And it would be a system worth covering more on One More Castle, and I'm all for that. I'm just saying that there's a lot of quality games in the library that you could have picked, but no, you picked Advanced Lawnmower Simulator?
Yeah, the Advanced Lawnmower Simulator.
I think your fixation with lawnmowers has been officially upgraded to a fetish.
Oh, yeah.
The
floor is all sticky.
I don't want to touch this argument anymore.
Lawnmower Simulator?
Yeah, Advanced Lawnmower Simulator.
At least Jason's argument is reasonable, though, as opposed to someone stark raving mad claiming that the whip is a long-range weapon. That is absurd.
Oh, really?
All right.
Mr. Donkey Kong is overrated?
The NES game? Yes. The arcade game, very impactful, very legendary, contributed to the platformer genre, Mario can jump.
It's the same game.
It's not. And even if it is, it's a port. It should be regarded a little bit differently. We've had this discussion before.
This sounds like the same defense for Pac-Man.
Oh, no, that's completely different because the...
No, totally.
No, that's totally different.
So some of this information is really mind-boggling to me. Atari apparently thought that with the release of Pac-Man, they were going to make $500 million on the sales for Pac-Man.
The math figures out if you sell them for $50 a piece and you sell 10 to 20 million copies of it, I mean, why not?
It sold 7 million copies.
Yeah, see, they almost got there.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me and, you know, with just the way that things are now, it's who really thinks that a company can rely on one guy to make them $500 million?
Jason,
you know what I mean?
Jason, if you say Nintendo, I will punch you in the face.
You read my mind.
That's creepy.
I could hear him screaming it in his head.
It's like, ah, Mario. No, sorry.
If Mario was...
Well, see, now that's a little different.
Oh.
Because, especially with Super Mario Brothers for the NES, like, that was something brand new that, you know, nobody's really tried to do before. Whereas in with Pac-Man, and Pac-Man was huge in the arcades. So, it was a quote-unquote guaranteed hit. Or it should have been.
And it was. 7 million. That makes it a hit. I think it was certainly hubris on their part to expect, like, twice as many. Like, I think it's unhealthy to expect, oh, well, it's definitely going to sell 15 million copies. I think that's absurd. And that's poor business management to have these monumental expectations. You got to have a more conservative way of going about things. And that's part of why it led to the video game crash. But it was a hit. Totally sold a whole lot of copies, man.
That doesn't make it a hit, though.
That's definitively what makes something a hit, is when it sells a lot of copies.
Not anymore.
Sure it does.
Not with the internet, man. Not with the internet.
Well, you can go by download counts then. Whatever. If it's popular, it's a hit. That's just how it works. It's certainly more of a hit than Master of Darkness.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to admit something. You're not going to like it. Mm-hmm. But Advanced Lawnmower Simulator was actually released as an April Fool's game.
The game was a joke?
The game was a joke. And the fact that Bailey's admitted he'd rather play it than Master of Darkness says a lot about your game.
That's true. I can't take it back. That's true.
You guys, that says a lot about your sanity.
The game was literally a joke.
It was. It was like an April Fool's joke.
It was a joke
game. It was given away with the magazine.
Let me clarify. It wasn't like there was an article about the game that was a joke. Like, oh, there's this new game coming out. Like, the actual physical game was a joke.
Yes, that's editor of the magazine designed this game, wrote a review on it, gave it this fantastic score.
That explains it.
And then a month later, actually released it with the magazine.
Okay, that's actually kind of cool, but this game's still a joke.
How is that cool?
Oh, you've never wanted to make a joke game before. Like, think of how cool it would be. Like, you have a gaming magazine. You read about a joke game, you think it's funny. But then actually get the game, like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That'd be like if Atari said, oh yeah, you know that super popular Pac-Man arcade game? We're totally going to release that on our 2600 console. Everyone's like, ha ha, no way. And then they did. And it wasn't even a joke.
But the gameplay is.
No, the gameplay
is. And the graphics are a joke.
But how? The graphics are fine. Consider the console. And the gameplay is superb.
Worst pick ever.
No, wait. No. How?
Hey, it's not a Castlevania ripoff, at least.
It's not a ripoff.
It's a what? A homage?
No, it's a mod? Their battle.
Is it a mod?
Okay, that's like saying that Sonic is a ripoff of Mario.
No, it's not. That's different.
That's different.
Oh, what?
That's different.
That's way
how?
Different.
That's they released Sonic the Hedgehog to combat Mario.
Yes, but from
there's a
branding
difference, though. They've designed
view,
a completely
gameplay.
Different game.
Yeah, it's a completely different game. It's not like the same setting, same characters, same time period, same atmosphere, same weaponry, same enemy types, etc. Like,
yeah. Master of Darkness is literally Castlevania, just done poorly.
Better.
It's not poorly. Better. How can that hurts me every time you say that.
So much better.
Oh,
even the cover
I'm
features
dying.
The guy fighting Dracula.
If Sega would have continued the Master of Darkness series, the entire series would be better than the Castlevania series.
You are...
Hands down.
You know why they didn't continue it?
Because
it sucks.
You suck, Jason.
No, I think we should just let Hunter keep talking because he is burying himself. Everything
yeah,
you say is crazier than the last thing. No, keep going, Hunter, on how great Master of Darkness is and how much better than Castlevania it is. Please, keep going.
I've said my piece. It's done. It's done. It would have never had a Castlevania 64 because it would have been released on the Sega Saturn. It still would have been a 2D game. If they would have continued on, it would have been released on the Dreamcast. I mean, that alone
that's
should be enough.
That's
Are you
what
saying
makes
that
it
would
better
save
than...
the Dreamcast? Are you saying it would save the Dreamcast?
Would it have saved the Dreamcast?
Yeah.
It's what the man asked.
It definitely would have helped.
Oh, God.
Whoa!
Insane.
Oh,
it definitely would have helped.
You are insane. You are certifiable. You are loony. You are bananas. You are crazy.
At least I admit my game's a joke, and I'm proud of it.
I am the Master of Darkness.
I am the Pac-Man.
I am the Lawnmower.
I think we have our episode title right there.
And together we fight crime.
By your powers combined, Captain Showdown.
That was a pretty good article. The Captain Planet article.
Yeah. Good work to Adam on that one. He's funny.
Got a lot of good writers, man.
Yeah.
We got lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You guys got lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Lawnmowers. Good God, Jason. Just what? Have you ever brought a reasonable game to this showdown?
Yeah.
Ever?
Pokemon Snap.
No. I said a reasonable game.
If
it has taxes, it doesn't count.
Oh, damn.
I actually found a game that was all about taxes, and the first person I thought he should buy it was
you
Jason.
You should have bought it for him. That would have been hilarious.
But it was a crappy Game Boy game, and he doesn't have a Game Boy.
I don't.
Oh, man.
I know.
All right, since two of you picked joke games... well, let me give you guys an opportunity here, because I feel like your two games are obviously more unfamiliar. We got to talk about them more. Mine is the obvious headliner. So go ahead and attack it. Like, give me a legitimate reason why you believe the Atari 2600 version of Pac-Man is bad.
Just in itself, or just comparing it to, like, the whole line of Pac-Man games?
I am ready for any angle you want to come at me with.
Well, I mean, really, this goes back to my argument of 90% of Atari games are crap to begin with. And this is a clear example of that. You take an amazing game that was huge in the arcades, and then you just throw it into the mud and you step on it, and then you kind of pick it up and try to put it back together, and you try to make, you know, $500 million, apparently, off of it.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame they only made like $200 million or something like that, huh?
Poor guys.
Yeah, it's really a shame. I'm going to shed a tear in their honor. Okay, I hear you. Like, you're saying that it's clearly inferior to the arcade version. My theory is that it's just different.
Okay, so... And I'm fine with different. I really am.
Okay.
But it goes against things that were great in the arcade. Like, why is the background blue? Why can't it be black? It's like in the arcade.
What's wrong with blue? What do you have against blue?
I think if they would have gotten rid of all the blue, you could actually color the ghosts, except for them being this, you know, this flashy whitish blue blobs. Blech.
All right.
And the sound effects are terrible.
Oh, they're so classic. They're so, like, typical Atari 2600. I love it. Every time I hear Pac-Man on Atari, it just fills me with nostalgia. It's so wonderful.
But how do you know? Because it sounds like combat, and it sounds like the Video Olympics, and it sounds like every other Atari game.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah. No! It's not!
Yes.
It's terrible!
No.
It's awesome.
I wouldn't even put sound in the game if it sounded like that.
Whoa! And there's your insanity showing again.
I'm literally watching... I've watched several videos now. Mm-hmm. My first video I watched, the ghost was actually teleporting.
No. They're not teleporting. It's just the Atari 2600 programmers were so clever, they...
Wait, hold on. Programmer. There was only one.
He was so clever, he got around the console's on-screen sprite animation limit by having the ghosts take turns appearing on screen at any one time.
Also known as glitching.
No. It's a feature.
No. It's literally just one ghost.
No, there's four. There are four ghosts.
No, in this video I'm watching, only the first ghost is going around.
Oh, then he's probably changing the difficulty mode. Because, you know, on Atari you could toggle the switches and do different things. You could reduce the number of ghosts.
It's glitching between the walls, like, multiple times. And it's not just in this one video, it's actually in a Pac-Man ad from 1982 I just watched.
No, Jason, it's not glitching through the walls, it's teleporting.
It's featuring through the walls. Featuring.
So, yep. Do the walls represent the video game crash, and the ghosts represent Atari's, you know, smashing through that wall?
Wow.
Sure, Jason, sure.
There we go.
That's what makes you happy.
And Pac-Man represents the wandering consumer.
Yes.
Destined.
Trying to pick up all its money.
There we go.
All right. Thank you guys for explaining my game even better.
What a piece of crap.
No, a piece of history.
Okay. You know, it's better than Master of Darkness. I'll give you that.
You heard it here first.
Wow. So I keep reading this information, and apparently one of the marketing managers for the game informed Atari's president and CEO that he felt the enthusiasts would not want to play the game, and they just completely dismissed him. Like, oh no, this is gonna 500 mil, bro.
I'm so glad.
500 mil all the way, son. Get out of here. You're crazy. Maybe. Nobody's gonna play this game. Oh, ouch.
Since when has that advice ever stopped a video game company? Master of Darkness, really? It's just a dumbed down, lesser version of Castlevania. Nobody will ever play this. And nobody
now, Bailey,
did.
And we went through this.
Did.
It's a better version of Castlevania.
Oh my gosh, no it's not. okay, Let's go to closing arguments.
All right.
Hunter, why should any listener vote for Master of Darkness?
It's better than Castlevania.
Jeez.
I'm going to make your ears bleed by the end of the night.
You're going with that. Okay, fine.
Okay, I got one.
No.
That's
okay,
good.
Fine. Go ahead.
No.
If you have something else in mind, then by all means, share it.
Okay.
Actually, just by one mean, that would be through your voice.
I didn't get that.
Never mind.
Okay. Master of Darkness is way better than Castlevania.
Okay, Jason. Closing argument. Why should anyone vote for Advanced Lawnmower Simulator?
It is literally the greatest April Fool's prank of all time. And still manages to be a better game than Masters of Castlevania.
Darkness. Masters of Darkness.
Well,
at least get the title right, Jason. Jeez.
Yeah, how about you, Bailey?
Well, you should vote for Pac-Man for Atari 2600 because it may have killed the video game industry, but it's a pretty good game. Oh. I feel dirty. Okay, well, thanks for an amusing round of Retro Showdown. I am really looking forward to how the listeners vote on this one. This will be very interesting after hearing your guys' arguments. I would like to thank Ben Landis for letting us use the intro and outro tracks from his music. And once again for the interlude artist, which was Laura by Spruik and their song Sonic. You can download that on the podcast page. And Hunter, do you have any shout-outs this week?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to give a shout-out to me, actually. My other project, Capital Idea Radio, just launched our new website, and we're dropping our first new episode of our radio show today, or Monday, whenever anybody listens to this. So.
Oh.
5 years in the making. We dropped our first episode 3 years ago. Really, really cool. Really exciting.
Cool.
So check it out.
Sounds good. Jason, how about you? Any shout-outs?
I'm just going to do a shout-out to myself as well. You can follow me at Jason Lamb, and that's on Twitter. Other than that, how about you, Bailey?
You know what? Ditto. I'm going to shout myself out. You can follow me on Twitter at Nintendo_legend. Have fun. All right, and once again, a reminder to everyone, you can email us at podcast@onemorecastle.com. Which is great because if you send us a discussion question, we might talk about it, which is cool, right? Right? Interactivity? Yeah? Yeah? But seriously, email us. We'd love to hear from you. And last but not least, listeners, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!